Just before showtime, let's play hardball. Oh, wait, what? No? Okay, wrong. Oh, sorry, wrong show. Hey, welcome, truth seekers. Fiscal terrorism, that's what I meant to say. GOP fiscal terrorism. Rewriting the lead just before showtime, indeed. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Welcome, truth seekers. Yes, once again, it is I, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow drafted into duty, pulled out from behind the desk of bradblog.com, brought to you tonight to sit in, to fill in for Mike Malloy, who is on his way or is now in Seattle for the Progressive Voices Conference at our affiliate, AM 1090. And I will be with you tonight and again on Monday before he returns. And, of course, as usual, whenever I'm here hosting the show, yes, you can bet something is going to blow up. In the case of Norway, quite literally blew up this morning, unfortunately. And then this afternoon, within the past hour or two, this fake crisis. I'm sorry, there's no other way to put it. This completely phony, completely ginned up crisis by the Republicans over the debt ceiling. John Boehner, late this afternoon, we learn he walked out of the talks. Obama has said we are now out of time. The debt ceiling talks are now in apparent meltdown. And this entirely fake fiscal crisis now nears a boiling point with a meeting called by the president tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Joining us momentarily, we'll have David Dayen with the latest from Fire Dog Lake. I just want to note that Barack Obama came out and held a late evening, or I guess for us out here in Los Angeles. Did I mention we're broadcasting from the left coast? Thank you, we are. K-Talk AM 1150. He came out late this afternoon, gave a very frustrated press conference remarks, answered some questions, followed by Boehner, who came out about 30 minutes later and gave his side of the story. We will have both sides of those stories tonight, figure out who's telling the truth with David Dayen. Also later in this show, as we juggle things around here, we'll have Bob Fitrakis, the investigative journalist and attorney from Ohio's ColumbusFreePress.org. He will join us with some new news on the 2004 presidential election in Ohio. How's that? Yes, we will have some more news on that and that election fraud case that is still pending now, 8 years later, or whatever we are, concerning Mike Connell, who was the GOP IT guru who tragically died and suddenly died in a plane crash before Christmas in 2008. We will get to all of those details in the show ahead, as well as your calls at 877-520-1150. Write it down, 877-520-1150. You're going to want that. You're also going to want to stop by the bradblog.com chat room, because it goes on during the show whenever I am live on the air for Mike, and it's a lively discussion there, moderated tonight as usual by the lovely Desi Doyen, and I think 4Earth is there, isn't she? So far, just Desi Doyen. Okay, hopefully 4Earth and Dale and all the other folks, come on by and say hello. They are very nice. What else? You can reach me anytime on the Twitters at TheBradBlog. Got it? Good. Let's go to David Dayen here of Fire Dog Lake, from the news desk there, news.firedoglake.com. Hey, David, how are you, sir?
Hi, how you doing, Brad?
I'm okay. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, and thank you for being willing to jump in here at the last minute, given all of this insane breaking news. I thought what I would do, if this works for you, I've got the first few minutes of the Obama press conference.
Okay.
That I'd love to play, and we can start and stop, because I've got some questions for you about some of the comments that are made as we try to unwind what is really going on here, if we can read between the lines a bit. Sound okay?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, here we go. Let's play a minute or so, and I'll like I say, Tony, I'm going to stop and start. Go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. I wanted to give you an update on the current situation around the debt ceiling. I just got a call about a half hour ago from Speaker Boehner, who indicated that he was going to be walking away from the negotiations that we've been engaged in here at the White House for a big deficit reduction and debt reduction package.
Okay, now stop it right there. David, he just got this call. Can you clarify to me what was going on? What is this business about? He had called him last night and did not return his call for 24 hours. Is that correct?
I believe that's what the story is. And, you know, I mean, if you just want to back up, this whole thing is kind of crazy. I mean, 2 weeks ago, we heard that John Boehner and Barack Obama were engaged in putting together a big deal, a $4 trillion deficit reduction package. And in walked Eric Cantor and the rest of the GOP caucus, and they said, we don't accept it because it includes some tax revenue, some tax increases. So everybody went back to the drawing board. There was work on a smaller deal. There was this Mitch McConnell solution. And
that's Plan Z, right, that we'll talk about in a bit. Okay, we'll get to that.
Then this week, all of a sudden, oh, wait, Boehner and Obama are talking about a big deal with $3 to $4 trillion in deficit reduction.
Mm-hmm.
And today, what did it fall apart on? The exact same thing on tax increases, on the fact that Boehner could not get his caucus to agree to increasing taxes in any meaningful way. So, you know, I don't see what changed in those 2 weeks. Nothing did, apparently, because the talks broke down once again. This is the second time. In fact, I think Obama later on says, I've been left at the altar twice on this deal.
Where these guys walked away. Where first Cantor walked away, and now Boehner walked away. All right, let's get some.
I mean, it's really a square peg in a round hole. They're trying to put this deal together, but you have an entire party that just does not want to do the deal.
Didn't everybody see this coming months ago, that there was never going to be a real deal, at least not until the showdown at midnight, just the way we saw on a budget crisis?
It's not for lack of trying on Obama's part, much to his detriment, I would argue. He has been willing to give away the farm here if he would only get a little bit of revenue so he could get cover for his base, to say that at least he extracted something out of these talks.
Let's get some of the details.
Republicans wouldn't even do that.
Let's get some of the details that the president had to say on the deal. Go ahead.
I thought it would be useful for me to just give you some insight into where we were and why I think that we should have moved forward with a big deal. Essentially, what we had offered Speaker Boehner was over $1 trillion in cuts to discretionary spending, both domestic and defense. We then offered an additional $650 billion in cuts to entitlement programs, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. We believed that it was possible to shape those in a way that preserved the integrity of the system, made them available for the next generation, and did not affect current beneficiaries in an adverse way. In addition, what we sought was revenues that were actually less than what the Gang of Six signed off on. So you had a bipartisan group of senators, including Republicans who are in leadership in the Senate, calling for what effectively was about $2 trillion above the Republican baseline that they've been working off of. What we said was give us $1.2 trillion in additional revenues, which could be accomplished without hiking taxes, tax rates, but could simply be accomplished by eliminating loopholes, eliminating some deductions, and engaging in a tax reform process that could have lowered rates generally while broadening the base.
Okay. So let's review that. That's was the president just an hour or two ago in his press conference. He says $1 trillion in cuts to spending, domestic and military, $650 billion in cuts to Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, which is completely solvent, and I don't even know why that's on the table. And then 1.2 in tax revenue increases, right? That was the deal?
Right. But, I mean, when you talk about tax increases. It's very slippery, and it really depends on where you draw the line, specifically the baseline. He mentioned the baseline there. The Bush tax cuts are going to expire at the end of 2012.
Right.
So by the CBO's reckoning, that is the baseline, and that will increase our revenue collection by $4 trillion over the next decade, because that's how much the Bush tax cuts cost. So when you say we're going to raise revenues by $1.2 trillion, mm-hmm. in their conception of it, they are assuming an extension of the Bush tax cuts. So really, it's an overall cut from the CBO baseline, because it assumes that the Bush tax cuts aren't going to expire. So it's actually a $2.8 trillion tax cut. So listen to what the Democrats what the White House offered the Republicans here. $1 trillion in entitlement cuts.
Yep.
$650 billion in Social Security, Medicare, or $1 trillion in discretionary, $650 billion Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and a $2.8 trillion tax cut.
Yeah.
And they still said no.
Which is, I know, it's absolutely unbelievable. The thing that I've been thinking of, David Dayen, is that this reminds me of, remember Arafat? When he got what was probably the best deal he was ever going to get in the late 90s, right, with Bill Clinton down in Camp David, right, and he walked away from it.
Right, and he said to Clinton, if I take this, I'll be assassinated, or he said something similar to that.
And
I could not sell this to my people.
And
it's very similar. If John Boehner took this deal, there is a likelihood that he would have been deposed as the Speaker of the House.
Let me take a quick break. Speaking with David Dayen, Mike Malloy Show, Brad Friedman in for Mike. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. I'm speaking with Fire Dog Lake's David Dayen about the breaking news this evening that John Boehner, House Speaker John Boehner, has pulled out of talks for the grand bargain, and he has touched off the wrath somewhat of President Obama, who gave a late evening press conference, followed by another by John Boehner. This after Boehner had sent him a letter essentially saying, you're just dead set on raising taxes, therefore we're going to get out, we're not going to talk anymore, and we're going to let the debt ceiling... I don't know what he thinks he's doing, and we'll play a little bit more of his press conference after this, after the break at the bottom of the hour, but what does he think he's doing here, David Dayen? Is he unable to handle his own caucus, or is this something that he is really willing to do, that he is really willing to see this whole house of cards collapse by letting the debt ceiling expire?
I mean, I think they just didn't have the votes for a big lift for to do this kind of big bargain deal. And that's why this should never have been attached to the debt limit increase in the first place. I mean, it was always going to be a very difficult thing when you're talking about essentially a transformation of the federal government and the responsibilities of the federal government. That was never going to be easy. It was never just a matter of take a little bit from column A, a little bit from column B. You know, there are just a massive amount of responsibilities of the federal government. You're talking about $4 trillion is not a small number, and there are people and lobbyists attached to every step of that number. And so it just wasn't going to be that easy. So why in the world would you leverage a routine bill increasing the debt limit, which is all that says is we're going to pay the bills that we've racked up? That's all the debt limit is. It's just saying we are going to allow ourselves to pay the bills that have been racked up by Congress, successive Congresses, over the years. So if you're not willing to do that, if you're willing to hold that hostage, the consequences are absolutely catastrophic because they're inevitably going to result in a default and a manufactured financial crisis. And honestly, you can give it to both sides on this one. Both the Republicans used it as leverage, and then later on down the line, the president used this thing and still in his press conference used it and said, you know, the bare minimum is raising the debt limit, but I think this is a great opportunity to deal with our problems with deficit and debt. He was the one that has forced the issue on this and wanted, really seriously wanted, to put this grand bargain together. So both sides now, having seen this fall apart, are left with less than 2 weeks until a default event, the very first in the history of the U.S. government, and absolutely irresponsible for them in the first place to have attached this giant deal with all these moving parts that was going to take months upon months to get people comfortable with to a something this catastrophic that can happen.
Should he have, in your opinion here, David, he should have never even gone into these bargain talks at all, said, you know, raise this debt limit, like the debt ceiling, the way you have for every other president going back decades, give me a clean bill and that's it? Is that?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that should have been done is that this should have been taken care of way back last December when Obama had something that the Republicans wanted. They wanted to extend the Bush tax cuts. And that was a perfect opportunity to say, I will extend the Bush tax cuts. And in the scope of that negotiation, you will also raise the debt limit so you can't take me hostage with the full faith and credit of the U.S. government.
This guy has never been known for his negotiation skills. David, can you stick around beyond the bottom of the break here?
I actually can. I gotta go.
You got to go.
Yeah.
Then, okay, we'll come back with more. David Dayan from Fire Dog Lake, thanks for jumping in, brother. I really
Thank
do appreciate it. News,
appreciate it.
You bet. News.firedoglake.com. More, much more right after this. The man who really runs the GOP, Grover Norquist, he's trying to tell the GOP what to do. Will they listen? We'll find out. Some breaking news from Grover, the guy who's really running the Republican Party, momentarily coming out of roll call. But first, play a little bit more of this press conference from President Barack Obama. Oh, I should say, Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, Brad of BradBlog.com. And I will take your calls on this matter if you want to get in, 877-520-1150 with your thoughts. What is going to happen? Why is this happening? And as usual, since we all know that Republicans are special people, they will go to the front of the line if they decide to call in. 877-520-1150. Flying monkeys are welcome. Okay, Boehner left the debt ceiling crises, fake crises talks today. President Barack Obama and came out and gave some comments about this and about the big deal that he had been trying to work on that Boehner walked out of for reasons that still are not completely clear. Here's a bit more of that press conference where the president was quite angry and called on Republicans to join him, congressional leaders to join him, tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. sharp.
This was an extraordinarily fair deal. If it was unbalanced, it was unbalanced in the direction of not enough revenue. But in the interest of being serious about deficit reduction, I was willing to take a lot of heat from my party, and I spoke to Democratic leaders yesterday, and although they didn't sign off on a plan, they were willing to engage in serious negotiations, despite a lot of heat from a lot of interest groups around the country, in order to make sure that we actually dealt with this problem. It is hard to understand why Speaker Boehner would walk away from this kind of deal. And frankly, if you look at the commentary out there, there are a lot of Republicans that are puzzled as to why it couldn't get done. In fact, there are a lot of Republican voters out there who are puzzled as to why it couldn't get done. Because the fact of the matter is, the vast majority of the American people believe we should have a balanced approach. Now, if you do not have any revenues, as the most recent Republican plan that's been put forward both in the House and the Senate proposed, if you have no revenues at all, what that means is more of a burden on seniors, more drastic cuts to education, more drastic cuts to research, a bigger burden on services that are going to middle-class families all across the country. And it essentially asks nothing of corporate jet owners. It asks nothing of oil and gas companies. It asks nothing from folks like me who've done extremely well and can afford to do a little bit more. In other words, if you don't have revenues, the entire thing ends up being tilted on the backs of the poor and middle-class families. And the majority of Americans don't agree on that approach. So here's what we're going to do. We have now run out of time. I told Speaker Boehner, I've told Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi, I've told Harry Reid, and have told Mitch McConnell, I want them here at 11 o'clock tomorrow. We have run out of time, and they are going to have to explain to me how it is that we are going to avoid default. And they can come up with any plans that they want and bring them up here, and we will work on them. The only bottom line that I have is that we have to extend this debt ceiling through the next election into 2013. And the reason for it is we've now seen how difficult it is to get any kind of deal done. The economy has already weakened, and the notion that 5 or 6 or 8 months from now we'll be in a better position to try to solve this problem makes no sense.
That was President Obama speaking earlier this evening, within the last about two and a half hours ago, I think, at the White House after John Boehner had walked out of the talks over this fake debt ceiling crisis. It's not a fake crisis because it's a real crisis, because the GOP has decided it will be. They are fiscal terrorists. They want to burn down the House, apparently, to make their point, I guess. I don't know. Or they think that the president is going to give in at the last minute. And I suspect he just may do that. He just may go ahead, give them a whole bunch of cuts, and get that debt ceiling raise, and never get those revenue increases, leaving us with the Bush tax cuts still in place as we head into 2012. We will see if that happens. In the meantime, Grover Norquist, well, let me give you this. This is from John Boehner, actually. Here's a piece. He came out about 15 minutes later after the president. Gave a few remarks, and here is what John Boehner, Speaker of the House, says is the sticking points in this in these negotiations.
Now let me just say that the White House moved the goalpost. There was an agreement on some additional revenues until yesterday, when the president demanded $400 billion more, which was going to be nothing more than a tax increase on the American people. And I can tell you that Leader Cantor and I, we're very disappointed in this call for higher revenue. But secondly, they refuse to get serious about cutting spending and making the tough choices that are facing our country on entitlement reform. So that's the bottom line.
They refused to get serious about cutting spending. Now, you heard the President of the United States say a little bit earlier in this press conference that he was prepared to cut $1 trillion from spending, discretionary spending, and military spending, $650 billion from Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, which, by the way, is completely solvent out through, I think it's 2036 for Social Security. And yet he was willing to cut $650 billion from those three programs, $2.8 billion in tax cuts, and $1.2 billion in tax revenue. raising revenue by letting the Bush tax cuts expire and other methods. And that's what John Boehner says was not serious. Are you kidding me, John Boehner? Now, the point that he made that they had an agreement about $800 billion and the president tried at the last minute to add another $400 billion, we don't know if that's true. Apparently, the White House says that is not, and they have paperwork to prove it, to show the timeline that that was untrue and that they are going to release that paperwork. I don't believe they yet have. They might while we're on the air here, and if they do, we'll try to carry it for you and let you know who is telling the truth here. But that was the deal. And I said earlier that it reminded me of the Arafat deal back in the 90s, that he got one of the best deals he was ever going to get from Israel, and yet he walked away because he said he would be assassinated if he took it. Well, John Boehner, I guess, is looking at his party and thinking he might be assassinated, not literally, but destroyed by these Tea Partiers who just have convinced themselves that spending is what is what the problem is here and why the employment rate is what it is and why people can't find a job, when spending has nothing to do with it except that if you spend more, you might be able to put people back to work. But never mind that. That has to do with reality and facts, and they may not be interested in that. Nonetheless, the main assassinator here, or at least the guy behind any such figurative assassination, would be Grover Norquist for Americans for Tax Reform, who has gotten all of these Republicans to say, no, anything, anytime you raise taxes in any way, shape, or form, even if you give a tax cut back, that is a violation of this pledge that all of you have signed. Well, yesterday, Grover Norquist with the Washington Post, In the editorial board, and we played the audio. We may still have it around. I don't know if you have it, Tony, grab it. But he said, no, letting the tax cuts, the Bush tax cuts, expire would not be a violation of that pledge. That was the signal that he sent yesterday. And now, today, following that press conference you just heard with John Boehner, Grover Norquist said, this is according to roll call here, and thanks to Lady Cab Driver in the BradBlog.com chat room for pointing us to it. Grover Norquist said Friday night that Republicans should let the debt ceiling go up and take their fight for spending cuts to the voters in 2012. In an interview on CNN right after Speaker Boehner announced he was abandoning debt talks, Norquist was warned against allowing a default, saying, quote, I assume it's a disaster. It is gambling with the economics of the country to get that far, Norquist said. Rather than close the government down or go into default, let's take it to the American people, says Norquist. Go into the next election and fix things then. At a press conference a few minutes prior to that, Obama had referenced Norquist's anti-tax pledge, something the most congressional Republicans have signed, and said his offer would have complied with the pledge. So the offer that he was giving to Republicans would have complied with the pledge that all of these Republicans have signed, that all of these Republicans have put before their oath of office, the oath to defend the Constitution and the United States of America. And yet, they still wouldn't do it. They still walked away. So, Norquist went on to say, I would certainly argue that it is better to let the president to make this decision all by himself as long as there's not a tax increase and not phony cuts, said Norquist. Norquist's position contrasts sharply with other conservative groups, many of which are demanding nothing short of a constitutional amendment to balance the budget, you know, before allowing any debt limit increase. How ridiculous. So now, GOP, you've got the okay to move ahead. Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? Are you going to take this country to the brink? Because, you know, if you're going to do that, as I said last night, I'm almost in favor of it. Because I don't think anything is going to change in this country until this country gets to see the type of terrorists that are now running the Republican Party. And that's what they are. And that's what they're behaving like when they have created this completely phony scheme. This completely phony scheme to, I don't know what the hell, I was going to say to take down this country, to decrease spending. Why? What does any of it have to do with jobs? None. And they know it. All right. Let me take a quick call, and then we'll take a quick break. One quick call, one quick break, and then we'll be back with more of your calls. 877-520-1150. Do I have time, or should I just go around and I'll tell you what. Give us a call. Get in line right now. 877-520-1150. Next hour, I'm going to give you a break from this. I'm going to give me a break from this because, to be honest, this is such an enormous waste of time. It is completely phony. It is not putting anybody back to work. It is threatening to knock people, you know, out of work if they let this debt ceiling expire without raising it. And, you know, it's just, I'm tired of these goddamn phony crises that these Republicans, this gun that these Republicans are putting to the head of this nation. I don't know what point they're trying to make. Anyway, I'm sick of it, so we're going to change it up a little bit in the next hour and talk about talk about the 2004 election in Ohio, because we've got some new news. Your call is right after this. Brad, in for Mike Malloy. That's what the Republicans want. I don't know what the hell they want. Well, I do know. They just want to destroy the nation. That's it. What else? What else are they going to do? Unbelievable. Brad in for Mike Malloy, watching this debt ceiling theater, this kabuki theater, this ridiculous crisis that has been hoisted upon all of us, whether we like it or not. 877-520-1150. Let me get in a couple calls here. Bob in, there we go, Bob in San Francisco. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. What is on your mind?
Hi, I'm looking at Boehner and thinking moving the goalpost to him, that's what he's seeing is the goalpost that Corbin Orcus is moving. He's getting whiplash, yep, trying to follow the zigzag. Maybe when he sees that third one that now again says that expiration is not really, he seems to say, it's a tax hike, or in any case, he says, let them do it, argue it, it's election, we'll yeah, just raise it.
Yeah, Norquist has freed his minions to raise the debt ceiling. He has said it's okay. He has given his blessing. And so what's the holdup now?
Yeah, Nancy offered total no revenues deal, $2.5 trillion. And I went to law school. That's number one day in contracts class, offer and acceptance.
Yep.
Boehner's trying to get himself covered to actually appear to accede to the Nancy thing, but that did it. I mean, unless he's Arafat, and actually Arafat had 3% that he was holding out for.
Mm-hmm.
This is 100%.
Yep. I mean, they're getting everything. And what my concern at this point is that Obama is going to be so desperate to get that debt ceiling raised that he's going to take it. They're going to say the Republicans are going to say, okay, we'll do it at the last minute. We'll give it to you. But we insist on, you know, X number of trillion or a billion or whatever in more tax cuts or some nonsense like that. Bob, thanks.
Well, they did it in the budget, 32 to 40 billion. I mean, that was an Arafat moment.
Yep.
And, you know, there's nothing to say that they ever took contracts in law school. So, you know, they will move their goalposts if they want. But, you know, 3 weeks ago, it was a done deal, 6-1 cuts. David Brooks saying, you know, this is a no-brainer of all time.
Yep. Best deal. Best deal they were ever going to get. Best deal they were ever going to get. And I hope he goes down in history the way Arafat did, where we all remember years later, yes, he blew the best deal he was ever going to get. Bob, I got to run. I want to get in one more call before the top of the hour. I appreciate your call, my friend. Thanks. Let me get to David in St. Paul. Hey, David, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Yeah, hey, Brad. I enjoy listening to you as much as Mike, so take that as a compliment.
I do indeed. Thank you, sir.
All right. Hey, I just have to say, maybe Obama's being a genius here, and he knew that Boehner was going to pout and run away from the table, you know, like a two-year-old child, and now he can say tomorrow morning when the four of them meet that, hey, you know what? You lost your deal. I want a straight-up clean bill, and that's it. None of this other garbage, you know, included in it.
Well, that's, you know what, that's when I was on the way over to the studio here, Lawrence O'Donnell was saying that on MSNBC, that, oh, this is what Obama wanted in the first place, and he's a genius because that's what he's going to get. But I don't know that he's such a genius, but... Go ahead.
From here on out, why don't the if the Republicans are going to oppose everything, why not just reverse the legislation that we want to do, and then we can get everything passed? You know, let's say no one gets health care. Well, the way the Republicans are, then everyone will get health care.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Let's say we don't want any tax cut, or we want all the tax cuts.
Reverse
the Republicans, you know. Let's just see if that works. See how ridiculous we can get here.
There's some ridiculous Brady Bunch style reverse psychology.
That's right.
Thanks a lot, Brad. Thanks. I appreciate the call, David. If Obama is playing chess, as people have said for so long about him, and I never thought he was, and it was clear that he's a terrible negotiator, in my opinion. But even if we give him the credit and say that Obama is playing chess, a caller called in earlier, and they weren't able to hang on, but I saw it up here on my call screen that Obama is playing chess. All right, well, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Obama's playing chess, fine. Then the GOP is playing nuclear war. That's it. That's it. I mean, you know, whatever it is, they're against it. It doesn't matter what it is. Do you folks out there who still support this party, and believe me, I'm not a huge fan of the Democrats, but do you people out there who still support the Republican Party stand by this behavior? Do you buy into what they're doing? Is this okay? Is this what you signed up for? Are you proud of yourselves? Fiscal terrorism. Make no mistake about it. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. When we come back, we will change the topic. And then later in the show, we'll take more of your calls on this. But Bob Fitrakis on Ohio election fraud coming up right after this.